This evening, we're going to talk about sowing and reaping. We touched on that last week when we talked about bitterness, but we really have to understand the principle of sowing and reaping and what that means in our lives. I got an Indian proverb that says, whip a child at the end of the day, and if you don't know why, he does, right? I think that would have held true for me. Like, they could have beat me every day and never known why, and I would have always been guilty, you know. But, you know, it's just joking around. But many times, is when you're thinking about reaping, at least to understand it, it's a figurative sense of an explanation in either A, number one, a reward of wickedness, or B, a reward of righteousness. But there's only two outcomes. There's only two outcomes. I sow and I reap. And I sow and I reap. And I really only have two outcomes. And it breaks down very simply, a reward for my wickedness or a reward for my righteousness. And we're going to talk more about that. As far as wickedness is concerned, Job 4 says, according to what I have seen, those who plow iniquity and those who sow trouble harvest it. Proverbs 22:8 says, he who sows iniquity will reap vanity, and the rod of his fury will perish. So, looking at this more closely, iniquity in the Hebrew word is awan, which describes like perversity, depravity, and sin. So, like, perversity in the sense that we would take something beautiful and destroy it. And we as people in the flesh do this all the time. I can make many different references to as an example, but, you know, have you to really point something out to make it very simple. And I don't want to use a specific example that I got in my head, but at the end of the day, what I want to tell you is perversity is taking something that's beautiful already and spinning it into negativity. Like, how about we take relationships, for instance, right? God provided us an ability to become one in union with one another through marriage. But yet people, through the flesh, have decided that they will begin their union at 12 and 13 and 14 and 15. So therefore, the world has destroyed God's sanctification through marriage. Do you see how that becomes perverse? And God's mentality against the fleshly mentality? You see, we have to start thinking that way. So, well, how far is he going to go? I'm going to go all the way, right? I'm going to accept what God says no matter what. So I have to understand that no matter where I am in my life, I have to begin to exploit things in my life that maybe I have made perverse. Like, oh, what about a great job? We've received this great job, but now all of a sudden, all of our time, all of our effort, all of our thoughts, we've let the family go down. We don't spend time with the kids because we're working. Now that became a perversion in my life because I'm not upholding what I'm supposed to do. There's lots of different levels of taking something that's beautiful, that's a gift, and twisting it, not using it as a gift, right? So that becomes depravity, meaning that I get in that routine and I no longer get it. It's so normal to me that it doesn't even flag my conscience that there's something wrong. It's just routine. It's what I do, right? So getting further into that, a Greek word is adikia, which is unrighteousness. Or another Greek word is anomia, paranomia, which is without law. So paranoia is the depravity of wickedness, which is evil, mischief, and malice, which equals vanity. And vanity is nothingness. So a vain and empty thing, becomes wickedness and negativity. Well, we're going to make sense of this right now, all right? So the verse that we just talked about, Amplified, states this, if I break all these things down in English, is he who sows perverse things causes depravity, killing his conscience so that he no longer gets it anymore, which equals sin, which is a direct separation from God, and then therefore will reap nothing for himself positive except wickedness and iniquity in his life, or iniquity in his life will come to him. So the reward of wickedness is wickedness, right? So when we talk about this, and we talk about this in our daily life, we just talked about unforgiveness and bitterness carrying these frustrations with me, right? Some of us have been carrying these tortures our whole life where we just simply cannot forgive somebody else. We simply cannot forgive ourselves. We've let ourselves down so many times. We've let our people who love us down so many times. And we simply cannot allow that to be cleansed. But see, God said that I've cleansed you as far as the east is to the west, that I forgive your sins and remember them no more. But yet you carry that torch every day, that wickedness every day, that failure every day, that conscience every day. Amen? Yes or no? But we shouldn't. We shouldn't, because if he cleansed me of that, why do I have it? Why is it in my pocket? Why is it in my heart right now? If I wake up and I still feel bad about the mistakes that I made yesterday, if I'm choosing today not to make them, amen? That's yesterday. Paul said, not that I've achieved it yet, but one thing I do, letting everything, forgetting what lies behind, but I press forward towards the upward call in Christ Jesus. So he said, I'm not perfect. You know, I might not have achieved greatness at this moment, but the one thing that I can do is accept the fact that yesterday's yesterday and push forward towards my goal. Amen? Because that's the progress. That's what he's talking about. So when we figure out that we're functioning and allowing these things in our lives, that's destroying us. And that's why the Amplified just breaks it down so simply. And I just have to read it again, because I have to know this every day, because when I walk with this frustration in my life, I'm planting the seed. And he says, he who sows perverse things causes depravity, so that the conscience no longer gets it. And I don't want that for my life. Amen. If God has put an indicator in my heart to know that I've crossed that line, then I don't want to shut it up. Because the more I push it down, the more I suffocate it, the more I don't listen to it, the less it lights up. The less it triggers me, the less it tells me to turn. Amen? And then one day I wake up, I don't get it anymore. It's just routine. I go to church on Sunday. The rest of the week I do whatever the heck I want to do, and that's it. That's what it is. Or I don't go to church anymore because it's inconvenient for me to wake up at 8 o'clock. I've got other things to do. Amen? So now all of a sudden, you know, what else do I do? What else do I do? How else do I cater to myself and continue to make everything so easy for me that I don't be inconvenienced for progress? But deep down, each and every single one of us want to move forward. Amen? Amen? So why would I suffocate the one thing that wants to heal me? He says, causing my conscience not to get in anymore, which equals a direct separation from God. And God is the only one that has the power to heal me. So the more that I give myself into these temptations, the more that I put off this in the background, the more I give myself to this, the less I begin to understand it, but the further I get from God, who has the ability to heal me and take me away from it. Right? Solomon said, who can take fire into his bosom and not be burned? Amen. Who can take fire down your throat and not expect to be burned? But yet we live this every day. Our routine is every day. And we gamble with all these things every day. And slowly it becomes routine. And when it's routine, you know, I just don't want it to be too late. Amen. I don't want it to be too late for me. I know you don't want it to be too late. Hosea 8:7 says, for they sow to the wind and they reap the whirlwind. For the standing grain has no heads and it yields no grain. Should it yield, strangers would swallow it up. And what he's talking about is when my effort is conceded, then there can be no success. So a lot of us have an uncanny ability to try to cheat the system to get ahead. I did. For 30 some plus years. Amen? Yes or no? Right? We want the shortcut. Right? I don't want to go all the way around. I want to get it done. I want it now. Right? Otherwise, you know, all the fast food will be shut down. I want it right now. That's it. That's my mentality. But see, he says, for they sow to the wind and reap the whirlwind. For the standing grain has no heads, it yields no gain. Should it yield, others would swallow it up. And that's because in other verses, he talks about how you fill up your bag, but your bag's got empty holes. And he goes back and makes reference to Sheol and Abaddon. And he's talking about the very pit never being satisfied. And he goes back and relates it to the hearts of men. He said, the hearts of men are never satisfied. So a lot of times when I'm sowing and reaping, when I'm sowing to my flesh, it's the fact that I'm simply not satisfied. But if I look at this, I'm never satisfied. I don't ever have the nicest car that I want, the nicest house that I want, the prettiest girl that I want, the youth that I used to have, the looks that I used to have, the abilities I used to have. That's all fading away. Amen? Especially for Ed. Right? I'm so sorry. He's laughing. He's like, no, but look at me, right? I'm a big ugly mug. I'm just teasing Ed.
You're a big
I got a lot of backup here right now, all right? I'm just teasing. But, you know, it says the glory of the flower fades, man. You know, we all had our prime. We all had that moment. We were all beautiful and awesome for that 1 second. But looks aren't going to get us there, amen? It's just not. You know, that one moment's not always going to be there. We're not always going to hit the lottery on things that are going to work out for us. We have to begin to train our minds to understand that it is work, and it is a work that we have to commit to. Amen? An inner self. It says, your frame I have seen is planted in a pleasant meadow like tear, but your frame will bring to out its children for the slaughter. And what he's saying is, my routine transcends generations. And I have 3 kids, right? And I know that I don't want my routine in their lives. I've seen it. Amen? I've seen years and years behind the walls, and I don't want that for them. Amen? I've seen years and years of suffering from addiction. I don't want that for them. Amen? But he's telling me right now that as I continue to walk this walk, I'm transcending my genealogy down to my kids, who look up to me, who then eventually what? Inevitably follow in my footsteps. Amen? Does anybody want that for their kids today? That's a warning. In Galatians 6:8, he says, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Verse 7 said, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he shall reap. Right? So, I mean, that's for us to really understand and look at our lives and look at the little things that we're doing, because many times it's not the super big things. Many times it's the little tiny things that we continue to allow. Right, I met this one dude, I don't know, he made a reference to the fact that he made a big change in his life, but he still kind of had this sin in his life that he kind of catered to, but nobody knew about. And he was active in the church, and he was active in the functions, and they were working with him, and he smiled and told them everything that he had to, you know, tell them, and everybody was good, and he felt like he was making good progress. But this little bit of sin that he had, that he was nourishing, started to grow. And it started to grow. And he explained it to me like it was a baby pig. And he kept feeding the pig and feeding the pig and feeding the pig. And eventually it became a hog. And then it had hogs. And then it had pigs. And then they had a whole family of pigs. But see, the family was sin in his life that was out of control in the mask that he put on. But I'm here today to say, it doesn't matter who you are or what you're going through. Jesus Christ can come as you are. Amen. I don't have to be ashamed of my sin in my life, because I'm going to put it on the table. Amen. I may not be exactly where I'm supposed to be, but I can at least be open about who I am. Amen? I would rather you know me for exactly who I am than have to hide it, because if I'm hiding it or you're hiding it, then we're not growing. We're not moving forward. Because as long as I hide this from you, you can't see it. And I'm keeping it, and it's growing. I'm feeding my pigs. Amen? So we got to think about that. Who's got pigs in the backyard today? Stop feeding them. Amen? Stop throwing it out there. Cut them out. Just call it like it is. You know what? I have a tendency to drink and beat everybody up, and I just got to figure out how to stop doing that. All right? All right? That's what it is. What do we got to do? Amen? I don't want to talk about it, but I have a tendency to just, you know, whatever. Whatever it is. You know what I mean? I have a tendency to run people over on the highway. Right? I'm a terrible, terrible driver, but, you know, we can put that on the table. We say, well, Ben has flaws. Well, amen. Ben's human. Ben's walking with God, learning how to be a better man every day and being accountable for his bad decisions. Amen. Just like each and every single one of us can look at our bad decisions and put them on the table and say, I'm not ashamed of this, because today I'm going to handle that. Today I'm not going to be victim to that anymore. Amen. If I learn from that today and I wake up tomorrow, I don't have to repeat that sin in my life. I don't have to feed that hog. I don't have to face it, because I'm facing it right now. Amen. So, the reward of sowing righteousness. Now, here's the flip side to this. Here's the flip side to us making an effort to make that change. He says, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap. And if we do not grow weary, so then let us do good to all people, and especially to those that are in the household of faith, while we still have the opportunity. So I want to talk about this as far as seed time is concerned. And in Genesis, he says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. And what he's talking about is that seed time. Amen. If any of us took one of these seeds and we planted it, what do we have to do then? We have to water it. What else do we have to do? What is it? Sunlight. Okay. What else do we have to do? Nurture it. But what does it take? What does it take? Huh? Amen. Amen. It takes time. I can't take one of these seeds right now and put it in my monster and then expect that another jalapeno comes out, right? It takes time. And a lot of you guys right now are fighting these battles and you're not seeing progress in your life. Amen? Yes or no? You're putting in effort and you're not seeing results. You're like, man, what am I doing this for? This ain't panning out. But you're not thinking about seed time. You're not thinking about the conversion and the change. Amen. You're not giving God an opportunity to let the sun and the water grow that seed. Right? So we got to be patient, man. Sometimes it sucks. You plant 29 years of frustration and negativity. You cannot have 29 days and all of a sudden we're dancing in the field. It's not going to happen. Amen. Yes or no? It's not. Because that's what it said. It said, he who reaps vanity will reap vanity. So if I continue to put all my effort into nothing, which provides for me nothing, then I have nothing to show for it. But when I do put my effort into something, I have to wait for that to grow. And I have to be consistent. And I have to water it. And I have to allow the sun to hit it. And I have to do that. In reference to this, it'd be the light of the Lord of Christ. Amen. So I'm accepting Christ in my life and I'm moving now in that direction, but I have to water it. How am I going to water it? I'm going to read the Word. How am I going to let the sun light it? I'm going to get in the church and listen to my pastor teach me. I'm going to stay in groups with conducive to people who want me to succeed. Amen? Amen. Conducive to people who do not want to take from me. Amen? Right? I need to get myself in that sunlight. I need to get myself around that water. I got to get myself in a position to where I can grow. Yes or no? That's that seed time. Amen? I like the end of the verse though. It says, let us do good to all people. Who does that exclude?
Nobody.
Nobody. Who can you point fingers at?
Yourself.
Who can you put down? Stop that. Nobody. Amen? Nobody, right? Don't you point fingers at yourself. All right. We just talked about that. But, you know, it says at the end of the verse, he says, while we still have the opportunity. Now, that's something I want to think about. Does that mean that at some point, if I don't put forth my effort, that I would not have the opportunity? That's how I read it. This is while we still have the opportunity to do good to all people. Amen. That's important to understand. 1 Corinthians 9, he says, for our sake, it was written because the plowmen ought to plow in hope, and the thresher thresh in hope and sharing of the crops. If we sowed spiritual things in you, is it too much that we reap material things from you? If others share in the right over you, should all the more. And nevertheless, we did it not to use this right, but we endure all things so that we will cause no hindrance to the gospel of Christ. And I want to think about the beginning of this verse. It says, for our sake it was written because the plowman ought to plow in hope. Amen. So today, as you continue to turn that new leaf, as you continue to focus with introspection about who you are, what you stand for, in the direction that you want to go, you have that seed time in hope. And hope, knowing that as I continue to put my energy in this direction, things are going to change. Amen? Things are going to happen. Doors are going to open. Amen? Yes or no? Yes. How many people got a testimony around this room where doors have opened when it looked like they were shut? Yes or no? Here's proof of 15 hands going up right now. And I guarantee if we look inside of our hearts, we can see a door opened in our own lives so many other times. The problem is, I used to always close them. I'm always too busy stubbing my toes and slamming them shut. Amen? But he says, plow in hope. So when you push forward, you go through that, whatever that is, you stay mindful with hope. And then he goes on that the thresher will thresh in hope and sharing of the crops. Who's the thresher? That's Christ. And sharing what? The good of what you're doing. So that when you go and put your hands to good, he continues to use you, not only to provide for you, but for others as well. Because that's what happened. In Leviticus, he says, indeed, your threshing will last until your grape gathering, and your grape gathering will last until your sowing time. You will thus eat your food to the full and live securely in your land. Provision is a kingdom principle. And if I was to make this, you know, Old Testament to 2016, he would say, you go out there and work with your hands and be responsible with your money, and you're going to have what you need. And not only are you going to have what you need, you're going to have what you need the next time something changes. Amen? But that's the problem. I don't think responsibly. I don't live responsibly. I think this is what I need right now. That's what I need right now. That's what I got to do right now. I got all this money. I got to jack it off. You know what I mean? It's not in order. You know what I mean? But if I begin to think spiritually, I start to put things in order. I start to live responsibly. God says, I will provide for you. He told them that your grape gathering will be until to the sowing time. So what he's saying is, you will never run out of resources because I got your back. Amen. Now, many of us aren't growing grapes today, but we are pressing buttons and doing the computer and hitting the thing and flipping the parts and digging the gland. Amen. Fixing the lights, putting the electricity in. Those are your grapes, right? And he's saying, if you wake up every day and you go out there and you give it your all and you do the right thing, that you will be provided for. Amen. Amen. But that's what we're looking for, isn't it? So I have to train my mind to understand to be patient during this time of growth for God to continue to provide for me. Because it's not what I want. We all said that earlier. Everybody's looking, who, a Dravion? He said, everybody's looking for a better job, right? So am I. Amen? But if I'm not responsible with the job I got, why should God give me a promotion? Amen. I got to think about that. Where are we at? Isaiah 55, he says, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear fruit, sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word which goes forth from my mouth, it will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without exceeding in which I've sent it forth. And that's God saying, when I give you a promise, it is golden. Amen. He's saying that my words do not return to me void. So therefore, as a very, very, I don't know what you want to describe me as, definitely a person living in the flesh today. If I align myself with God's word and God's promise, then I cannot fail because his word does not fail. Amen. I may struggle, but I cannot fail because his word does not return to me void. So if I align my life through application to the scripture, the teaching for me of how I'm going to live, then I will not return void. Amen. I will not fail again. Amen. I don't have to start over again. Amen. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in the glory of Christ Jesus. Understanding that provision is a kingdom principle. But I have to battle the difference between all the experience that I've lived so far of trying to provide for myself to turn to the humility of understanding that God is going to provide for me. And that is a tough, tough thing to do. Because it's scary sometimes to put that on the table. It's scary sometimes to think that God, the creator of the universe, is going to provide my next opportunity when I'm seeing cut corners in front of me to get by. Am I going to cut them? Am I going to take them? Am I going to try again? It's up to me. Because that's free will. I can at any point in time cut this whole corner off. But if I have a circle of integrity and I begin to chop off every single corner of it, and then pretty soon I wake up one day and I ask myself, how did I get here? How did I get here? How did I wake up like this? Amen? Yes or no? That's because I took that shortcut. And I didn't give myself an opportunity to really give it a shot. And that's what God's saying. He says, you go out there and get your hands dirty, suck it up and go through it one time. I'm going to give you what you need. Amen? But sometimes what I need is a lesson. Sometimes what I need is my pride to get shot down. Sometimes what I need is growth. Amen? And that's understanding that if I can respect $12 an hour, I can respect $25 an hour. Amen? That I don't have to run around the corner and get $85, $850 or whatever it is, and then jack off the next 14 years against my children. Yes or no? Because I can do that. And then I put my $1,500 in the... Can't put it in the bank. Sorry, I can't put it in the bank. I put it in the dresser, right? But then what's going to happen? It's gone, right? It don't last. One thing happens, another thing happens. You can't build on that. Every time you build a wall, it gets knocked down. Every time you build a wall, it gets knocked down. Does that sound familiar? I live that life. Amen? I'm tired of that. I would rather build sticks and keep all my sticks than build blocks, amen, that get knocked over. I'm tired of this. Amen. So I got a text here. It says, serve God willingly. It says, therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder, and witness of the sufferings of Christ and partaker of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor as lording it over those that are allotted in your charge, but providing to be examples of the flock. And the chief shepherd who will appear, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. And when you think about this mindset of turning our lives over to being mindful of the community and those that are in our charge. Amen. All of those that we oversee. I have a large family. Amen. I have a charge of many kids and cousins and brothers and sisters. He said, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion. That means that this is not what I have to do, but this is what I should want to do. Amen. I should want the best for my kids. I should want the best for my nephews. I should want the best for my mom and my grandma, my aunt. Amen. I should want the best for my friends. Not because I have to, but because I want that for them. And then he goes on and says, not as lording it over them. Amen. I love that. Nobody, no amount of time in the church makes you better than anybody else. Bottom line. Amen. We are equal in the eyes of God. Period. Period. So therefore, I don't come to you because I have something better than you. I come to you because the love of Christ is in my life. Amen. And the love of Christ should be in your life. And I want that in your life. And that's what I want. That's my intentions. Amen. My intentions are not to be big and haughty or look what I did or anything like that. You run into that, but that's not what we're looking for. Amen. What we're looking for is simply the support and the love of God to every individual, period. Amen. All right. We got 5 minutes. Revelations 14. He says, then I looked, and behold, a white cloud sitting on the head had a sharp sickle in his hand. And another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, put a sickle and reap, for the hour has come, because the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he who sat on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was reaped. In Galatians 6:7, he says, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he shall reap. So mentally today, whatever it is that I'm applying myself to mentally, whatever it is I'm putting myself to mentally, that's what I'm sowing, that's what I'm going to reap physically. Amen. I've let myself go many a years, many a times, but I got to think of myself mentally, physically, and spiritually. Spiritually being the most important, because I can't let my guard down, because I am my own enemy. I am my own flesh. Amen. If I don't allow Christ to live in my life, then I have no weapon against this flesh that wants to destroy me. Amen. Amen. How many of us are our own ticking time bombs? Right? We've lived this way. But if we let Christ in our lives and we focus on reaping and sowing spiritually, we have a weapon against ourselves. Which sounds funny, but it's the truth. Amen? I know I met a lot of people that say, you know, things just ain't working out in this town. I'm dipping. I'm going to Florida. You know? And then about 3-4 years later, they come back and say, oh man, Florida wasn't about nothing. Da, 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 da. Like, what's the variable here? You know what I mean? You know, it's not Indiana. I mean, yeah, Fort Wayne sucks in some ways, you know? I mean, okay. But, you know, Florida's neat, you know? But at the end of the day, if Ben's the problem and Ben moves to Louisiana and then Florida and then Georgia, where's the problem? Everywhere Ben goes. Amen? Right? It's in me. I have to realize this. So how do I fight it? I just get in this group. I get in this word and I begin to allow God to work in my life. And that's what he's talking about, that God cannot be mocked. There's nothing that God does not know. But see, the beautiful thing about God is that God is love. When people don't think about that, when it spins backwards, it says love is God. So at the end of the day, he's not holding this against me. He's calling me to him, right? We always think about God as like, oh, well, now I can't do this, now I can't do that, now I can't do this, now I can't do that. But if I measure all that, look at where that was taking me. Amen? And then I put God in my life and all of a sudden I take 81 steps forward. And then I feel like, okay, well, if I got it now, later, God, we're good. And then, you know, a year down the road, I'm suffering again. Why is this happening? Because anytime I isolate myself from the Word, which is what heals me, I begin to degenerate. So now, ultimately, with God, eternal life with God or eternal life without God. And these are the decisions. What I sow is what I reap. So my encouragement for you guys today in this week is tomorrow or tonight when we leave, you know, not to forget it like what Jeff said, amen, but to take this message with us and say, you know, I'm going to begin to govern the things that are coming out of my mouth. I'm going to begin to make better choices about the places that I'm going to go this week. I'm going to begin to make better choices on responses to people that I may or may not like. I'm not going to allow negativity to come out of my life. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to start planting little baby seeds. And pretty soon, all my seeds are going to grow in righteousness. And I'm going to be in a new place in my life. Amen? I'm going to have new growth in my life. Amen? Who's ready to make that commitment today? Anybody? Yes or no? All right. Amen. That's it.